In that recording for us? Yep, thumbs up. Here we go. Welcome to our people at home joining us. Like to talk about taking a bird's eye view. Next slide, please. Been doing a bit of driving this week for those who've followed along. We didn't quite make it to Chinchilla, but on that way you pass so many lookouts named after explorers. Yeah, you do. Or, well, probably more if you go up the Warwick Way. But you pass a number of lookouts that are named after explorers. They wanted to get high. Then, of course, if you're ever on the community group, the most common question they reckon is, what's that helicopter? And I was reading today in the paper, one of the fastest growing new jobs is drone operator, is commercial drone operator. Why is that so important? Because if you don't pray them, they get in the way. You don't want them to crash them. But they give a different point of view, don't they? The explorers wanted to get high so that they could see where they had been. They could see where, very importantly, they were, and get a different perspective on the challenges they were facing, and also to try to work out where they were going. And it's not much difference, is that, with the trying to get a different perspective is often very important. So next slide, please, David. This is off our English language service, trying to explain one of those cute little sayings we have: can't see the forest for the trees. We can get so caught up in all the business, in all the stresses, in all the problems of today, we can forget. We can forget the bigger picture, can't we? So sometimes we need to stop and get a different view on things. Next slide, please. Here is the bravest thing, second bravest thing I'll say today. There is a God. There is a God who created our universe. And the bravest thing I'll say today is that God cares so much for each one of you that you've been called to gather here in worship today, that you are loved. Next slide, please. We are coming to, next slide, please, David. And that is what our psalm says today. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Even youths will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. We've come. We've gathered in worship today. And we're gathering around this particular celebration of Holy Communion, where we remember that this God loved us so much that he sent his only Son to live, die, and rise again, and promises to come again, but also promises that through his work we become this weird thing called the church, the ambassadors and one of the sites of God's work on earth where people can find healing and wholeness. I've got to say, when I said they can run and not feel faint, I'm going, I wish. But we're called today to worship. We're called to put aside all those concerns. We're called to remember where God has been with us on life's journey. Because the challenges of today and the hopes of tomorrow are a whole different picture when we remember that we are not alone. When we remember that God is with us and God promises to walk with us forever. Amen. Next slide, please, David. And of course, Holy Communion. We have a prayer, the great prayer of, a little bit of teaching on what we do in worship. Good stuff. We have the great prayer of thanksgiving, that big, long prayer I do in communion. The whole point of that prayer is for us to go up here, isn't it? Us to hear the whole story of God from creation to coming again and recognizing that we are knitted into God's story. And when we reach out and we accept those elements, we are saying, God, we want to be part of this. We want to accept what you have done for us. And we want to be part of what you will do. Not through our own power, not through our own strength. Lord, help us if it ever depends on that. And luckily the Lord does help us. Amen. So let's come with our prayer of confession. Rushed by the busyness of life, weary from the stress of every day, we have these moments to catch our breath, to think of how we've treated others recently, to remember how we've not been God's faithful people. Let us come to God knowing that the one who listens to our words is the one who has given us the word of grace and mercy. Everlasting God, we know how easy it is to forget your presence and power in our lives. Focused on our daily planners, we do not pay attention to the night sky and the stars that glitter. Surrounded by the sounds of anger, violence and hate, we have trouble listening to your whispers of hope and grace, thinking that your scripture is filled only with stories. We cannot understand your truth, which can change lives. Forgive us. There is no one who can hold a candle to you when it comes to mercy and hope. Lift us to our feet so we may walk with you. Fill us with your strength so we may serve your people. Touch us with your healing so we may proclaim to everyone the good news that has come in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. Haven't you been listening? The good news is this: God never tires out. God is always with us. God heals us with mercy. God strengthens us for service. The one who numbers the stars knows each of us by name. Thanks be to God. We are forgiven. Amen. So let's sing an old Sunday school favourite, God Who Made the Earth, the Air, the Sky, the Sea. God Who Made the Earth, We'll now receive our Bible readings. Who's on readings today? Oh, Peter. Sorry, I didn't know.
Our readings this morning, I'm reading from the New International Version. The words that will be on the screen are from the Pew Bibles, but I like the New International Version, and David has given me permission to read from the NIV this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 16 to 23. For when I preach the gospel, I cannot boast, since I am compelled to preach. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. If I preach voluntarily, I have a reward. If not voluntarily, I am simply discharging the trust committed to me. What then is my reward? Just this, that in preaching the gospel, I may offer it free of charge, and so not make full use of my rights as a preacher of the gospel. Though I am free and belong to no one, I've made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I became like a Jew to win under the Jews, to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became one like not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak, to win the weak. I have become all things to all people, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. And from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verses 29 to 39. Again from the NIV. It's headed, Jesus Heals Many. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they immediately told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone's looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in the synagogues and driving out demons. In this we hear the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, open our ears to hear your word and our mouths to sing your praises. Amen. When we are reading, particularly the gospel accounts or any piece of scripture, it's often important for us to consider the writing, the type of writing it is. And the opening of the Gospel of Mark, which we're still in the first chapter after, 4 weeks? And we've got another week to go, and we're still in chapter one. In many ways, chapter one of Mark functions like a montage. And can I have the next slide? I mean, we're all familiar with montages in stories or in newspaper articles. I've chosen the one from the great animated cartoon Up, in which in a few minutes it does a story of a beautiful married couple from meeting each other as children to the poor old fella sitting there by his wife's grave, by his wife's coffin. It is an absolutely heartrending scene. It involves childlessness, and it all happens in about 2 minutes. It's an amazing device. It's telling a whole heap of stories without going into the details, but allowing you to get an overview. Again, on that helicopter looking down on their life, not in with the nitty-gritty, but just seeing their character develop and getting a sense of who they are. I mean, the classic one is, you know, in the movie where someone, the old kung fu movies, or the good guy gets belted up and then has to go and get fit or learn new techniques, wax on, wax off, whatever. And then they're ready for the ultimate scene. Montages, we do them all the time. And so this reading we have from Mark is actually three parts of an extended montage of who is this Jesus and what is he on about? Next slide, please, David. We have this wonderful, intimate scene with the disciples where he goes home and stays with Simon Peter's mum. But she's unwell, and he does the Jesus thing and says, up you get, and off she goes and serves them. We'll dig more into that later, but we're in montage mode. The story doesn't stop. It just goes straight on. Jesus then is there, probably still staying close to Simon Peter's mum's place, and everyone's going, we want Jesus healing, and he is effective. Jesus, the dynamic man of action. Very much the theme of Mark. The most common connector in Mark is the word which would best be related to a child telling the story. And then. Mark is written with that sort of freneticism. It's Jesus is constantly on the go and doing things. And then he goes to a quiet place. He is still. He is with God. And then the disciples come to him and say, hey, look, you haven't finished the job off. They're still coming for you. And he goes, actually, that's not what I came to do. God has sent me just for this one village in Galilee, but God has sent me for the whole world, and the best way I can show that is by picking up stumps and going. Even Jesus needed to take the time out to be with God. Even Jesus, this frenetic, dynamic action figure, Mark portrayal, needed to stop and be with God and say, God, what is it you want of me? And Jesus was God. We need to do that as well, don't we? We need to take that time out to go, God, what do you want of us? What is your call for me? I love talking to some really old people. And I've spoken to a few, and none of you are in that category, may I say. I'm talking about really old people. And the number of times they're sitting there in a nursing home going, I don't know why, but God's still got me around, and I'm trying to work out what God wants me for. Meanwhile, they're reading, they're emailing people on screens blown up so much that they can fit one word on a big screen, or they're making phone calls, or they're doing wonderful things for God that they can do within their capacity. They still burn with faith, some of these people. Next slide, please. We have a story here of another passionate man. We have another story here of Paul. And about half the book of Acts is written about what Paul did next. Again, an amazingly busy person. And the person whose signature is ascribed to round about 40% of our New Testament. So probably more than any single writer, this man has defined for us what it means to follow Jesus Christ. And for him, it meant that wherever he went, he did whatever he needed to do to connect with people and tell them the good news about who Jesus is and how Jesus changes lives. Is there room for two Pauls in the New Testament? Is there a room for a new Paul in every generation? Imagine how hard it would be carrying your Bible around. But he again burned with this passion, burns with this passion for God and what God's calling for him is. Sometimes I've got to admit, I'm a bit jealous. Then we have this story here. Next slide, please, David. We have the story of Simon Peter's. Now, let's just think about this. When Simon Peter's mum got up off the sick bed and started to serve them, she did not have the benefit of modern cooking appliances. She went straight from bed to really hard work. What's going on there? If anyone ever has an excuse, this lady could take a day off. I grew up in a house where my mother was partially disabled, but was moving towards severe disability over my years. And I can tell you, in that phase, there was one day a month that we would dread more than any. It was the month Mum would invite the extended family to come over for Sunday lunch, because we could never do anything good enough. The cutlery could never shine enough. It could never be put on the table straight enough. The flowers could never be properly collected and trimmed, because we could never do it as much to please a woman who was frustrated that her place in the world had been taken away. Yes, there's a whole discussion that I'm going to avoid on gender roles in early scriptural times and now. But I'm going to avoid it by pointing out that she seemed pretty happy with that arrangement. Though it's a montage, we don't get a lot of time for character development. We skipped on to the next and then. But she sets up, and again we see this divine sense of empowerment or energy in her work. Next slide. But they aren't the only women we see follow Jesus. And Paul isn't the only man we see follow Jesus. Yes, there was this woman who went back to looking after a house, but there were others that dropped everything, like Mary Magdalene, and followed Jesus to a new life. Or there were others. We have Scripture who stayed home, looked after their husband, but managed to fund this whole Jesus thing. There were many different responses. And even in the healings, some of the people who were healed get up and follow Jesus. Some of them go out and become evangelists in their community. Some of them, Jesus says, go back to what you were doing. Some of them, Jesus says, go and sin no more. Some of them just go home. We have that story of the group of lepers where 90% of them just go home. Only one of them thinks enough to come back to Jesus and say the simple words, thank you. We all are called to think how we can live lives that reflect our thanks for what God has done for us and what God is inviting us to. And I don't care what age you have. Now, the next slide does mention, next slide please, paid employment. I think sometimes when we get to the retirement or limited income, it won't drive us broke, is where we're aiming for, isn't it? But there are things in our lives that we love doing. There are those things in our lives that bring us energy and joy. They're good, aren't they? Even better is if there's something that's useful for the world. Even better than it is if it's something that's useful to the world, you're actually somewhat good at it. Or you are great at it, is what the description is here. And you can sustain it. And of course, that spot in the middle is our purpose. And yes, at the moment we're going through a mission planning discussion in our congregation. There are worse things on the world, worse things for us to discuss. And we've had the appreciative inquiries actually about what do you love and what are you good at? Now the practicalities are coming in, is how are we going to sustain it? And does that match what our neighbourhood needs? Because when we find those things, that is when we find our purpose. And I'm sure we can all remember those moments in our lives where we had purpose. Getting out of bed of a morning is a lot easier, isn't it? I pray that we as individuals, we as a community may take the time out. Remember who we are. Remember that we are loved by God and called and equipped and sent to be ambassadors of God's emerging kingdom. That we can find that passion and that we can move together as a passionate community for Christ. Amen.